Welcome to the Think Like a CFO podcast, where we dig into not only what it takes to start a business, but to keep your business thriving for years to come using my signature CFO money method framework. I'm your host, Melissa Houston, and I am a CPA and business financial coach. I have over 20 years of experience in business, and it is my passion to share my knowledge of business finance and personal finance with other women. You can also follow me with my column at Forbes.com or my column with Entrepreneur.com. Ellen Bennett went from being a line cook to building a multi-million dollar apron empire called Headley & Bennett. Ellen came from a Latina single-parent household and didn't have experience in design or manufacturing, yet built Headley & Bennett into the success that it is today. Ellen's colorful aprons have amassed a vast following, including David Chang, Martha Stewart, Jessica Alba, Zoe Deschanel, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, and so many more. Ellen's first book, Dream First, Details Later, shares her personal insights, thought-inspiring quotations, and wisdom from Ellen's years of dreaming first, details later, her way through culinary school, jobs, starting her venture, and launching a business. Ellen Bennett, I am so excited to welcome you today to the Think Like a CFO podcast. How are you?
I'm so good. So happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
You are a fantastic entrepreneur, and I am really excited to share with listeners today your story of entrepreneurism. Before we get into the story, can you tell us a little bit about your business and how you got started and how long you've been in business and such?
Absolutely. So I started Headley & Bennett in 2012. I was 24 years old, had no idea what I was getting myself into, but I think that there was beauty in that. I started a company making aprons and kitchen gear for professional restaurants. And it was a very narrow perspective. I was just like, make the best apron out there, period. I didn't really worry about any other detail than that. I was just like, make the best apron. And now the company's really evolved into a direct-to-consumer brand. We outfit so many home cooks as well as professional restaurants. But it started with one product that we made really, really well. We perfected it, and then we expanded into all these other worlds.
That's pretty amazing. So what made you decide to focus on aprons?
Well, I used to cook professionally, and I worked at a 2-Michelin-star restaurant here in LA, as well as another restaurant and as a personal chef. And I hated our uniforms. They were really horrendous. They didn't fit well. They didn't look right. You think of an apron and you immediately think of a grandma apron or like a really crappy apron. And I wanted to just make something that you slipped on and you felt like a badass. And that's where it began. And I wanted to do chef coats and all these other things to just make the uniform in a professional kitchen be the best that it could be. But it was the easiest path forward was do aprons. And so I started there. And by the way, they were not, our first batch was far from perfect. There was nothing perfect about it, in fact. But it got me going, and I got one order, and out of the blue, it was 40 aprons, and so Headley & Bennett was born with a 40-apron order, and then the business plan, and then everything else. It wasn't business plan, planning, investors, then that. It was
really, wasn't the way we're taught in business school, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I didn't even go to business school. I went to life school called just fling yourself out the window and trust that you're going to land, and you're going to whack a tree on the way down, and that's right. And you bleed, and then you keep going.
That's exactly. That sounds like a normal entrepreneurial journey. Yeah, exactly. Very typical. So from what I understand it, your aprons have quite a celebrity following as well.
Yeah, we have a lot of incredible chefs that wear our stuff, and now chefs are becoming celebrities, and now other people wear it too. So yes, we're really proud to just make a product that works really well. So celebrity or not, we want people to wear Headley & Bennett because it lasts. It works. It's like a Vitamix blender, right? It doesn't matter who you are. You just know that that's the best. So you get
the best. Absolutely. I'm like, yes, I have that Vitamix blender. So I'm going to get that apron.
That's right. That's right.
Now, you also wrote a book, which we're going to talk about. And I had a look at your book on the weekend. And I just want to explain to readers how absolutely beautiful this book is. There's color. There's visuals. There's like, it's just it has such a happy and positive vibe. And this book goes into your entrepreneurial journey, which I will let you get into because I don't want to get anything wrong. But I just want to encourage listeners, if you're thinking of downloading the audio copy, I mean, that's great. But the book, the actual book in itself, is a delight to see visually. So let's talk about the book. And first, we'll start with the name of the book.
Yes, it's called Dream First, Details Later, which seems very appropriate considering how I started my company. And most of the big, giant, scary things I've done in my life have been very dream first, details later moments where I just decided I wanted to do something and I loved the idea of it. And I flung myself out into the sea of life and decided and did it.
What amazes me about that too is the age that you were at. Like, I can't believe 24 years old. I was trying to figure out, I don't know, what party I was going to. And you're launching a business. That's pretty amazing. So continue. Sorry, I just had to throw that in there because I'm so impressed by that.
Yeah, it was a wild, wild time. It's true. I remember my friends very much thinking about what parties they were going to go to. Yeah. I was working 3 jobs and trying to start a company and figuring out how to sign up for a doing business as license in California, and nobody knew what the hell I was talking about. But yeah, rarely when you're doing something important is everyone going to be in alignment with it. Not everyone's going to say, oh yeah, that's a great idea. Oh my gosh, you should absolutely do that. It takes a lot of chutzpah. And I think eyes shut out to the rest of the world, just like blinders on, to focus on the thing that you want to do and not worry about what everyone else is saying. And mm-hmm. I was really excited about this idea of aprons and how I could just, frankly, the attitude that it would give, not so much the apron, but really the end result of wearing a better garment. So that's why I wrote Dream First, Details Later. It was one of these things where I went to the bookstore, I was looking online, and I wanted to find books that made me feel like I can do this, I can be on this journey. And what I found were a lot of black and white books, literally and physically, and that were just cut and dry. This is how you do it. These are the things that you go down the journey on. And they were written a lot of the times by men and a lot of the times on things that were so irrelevant to me as a 24-year-old trying to figure out how the hell to even hire somebody. It just was so out there. The comparisons they were doing were like, should Wells Fargo go international or stay in the United States? And I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, I don't even know how to get a lease on an office. I wanted a business book that was inspiring to people and empowering because it taught them that the way is not a straight path and it is not a perfect path. It's actually really pretty bloody and challenging and difficult. And you mentioned you read my book this weekend. It's like, it is not just like a walk in the park and then Ellen became successful. It's actually quite up and down in all the journey and an evolution. But that progress is built of failures and successes. And sometimes people think progress is built on just success. And that's not true.
And I absolutely love that about your book is how honest you are. Because so many times you pick up a book an entrepreneur has written and it's all the glossy stories. And a lot of people have this misconception, become an entrepreneur and you'll have this wonderful life. And it's very glamorous and there's a lot of opportunities and stuff. But I know as my own, like I'm an entrepreneur myself, it's a battle. It's a daily battle. And you know, you get thrown things at you constantly that you have to be resilient, you have to pivot, you know, adjust, whatever, you're always on your toes. And there are a lot of hard times and the rewards are not as frequent as people may seem. You've got Instagram and social media that are showing all the fantastic stories, but it seems like nobody's talking about the grit and determination it takes to really build that business. So I absolutely adore this book because of that.
Thank you. I can't wait for people to get it and to feel it and to read it and to see. Oh, okay.
It's April 27th.
Yeah, April 27th. It's also, to your point earlier, it's extremely colorful and it's packed with infographics and drawings and doodles and all kinds of things that are just very visual because that's what business is. It isn't black and white. It is colorful and all the colors.
All the colors.
Good, bad, and ugly. And it's all in there. So
do you want to maybe share some of the challenges that you had faced while you were starting up your business?
Yeah. I'll share challenges from the beginning and even current, right? When I started this, you probably even thought it when I said out loud, I have an apron company. You're like, oh, that's cute. It's That immediate reaction was a challenge that I experienced because a lot of the times people underestimated what I was doing and what it meant and the impact it could have. And there's so much to running a business and how do you get it off the ground and how do you get people on board. And I really had very few resources. I didn't have investors. I hadn't gone to business school or anything like that. I was raised by a single Mexican mama here in LA who gave me everything she could, but really raised me extremely independently. So I had what I had and I had what I had figured out and that was it. But I think because people underestimated it, I got ahead a lot more than most expected because I was just running really hard and getting new customers and getting a community built around the product and working so much more than most. But because they weren't thinking twice about me, our competitors, et cetera, which is like disregard. And next thing you know, this restaurant that they've had as a client forever is now wearing Headley and Bennett. And next thing you know, Martha Stewart or David Chang or Nancy Silverton are wearing our product. And it was just this really kind of incredible evolution, but one where you were surrounded by naysayers and you were running anyway, and then you were succeeding. And then they were kind of like starting to look to their left and right, say, oh, weird. What's happening there? Oh, it's something. And so I had to constantly be my own cheerleader along the way and just keep going no matter what was being said about me or the company or whatever until it became real, until it became legit in the eyes of others. And then other people were like, wow, that's really cool. You're now successful. Okay, now I'll talk to you. And so
now you're validated.
Yeah. And so I unfair. Also had to learn to identify who the good eggs are and who the people are that just need or want something for you and from you. And that's when they show up.
Yeah. Because you were faced with so many challenges and naysayers and such, where did you find that passion to keep going? How did you keep yourself motivated through this journey?
I think of every challenge that I've experienced since I was little. Right? My parents got divorced when I was fairly young and it wasn't a pretty divorce. It was like a pretty bad divorce. And so I think about that and I think about being raised as like a young sort of lock-key child, if you will, and not really having access to everything that I think a lot of people around me did have access to. And then also recognizing the journey that my mother went on to get me to a place where I could go to a good school and I could have food on the table and all that stuff. All of those things, I use them as weapons, right? Like kind of mental ammo to get up and to try harder because I didn't have this like crystal clear, easy path ahead of me. It was really, I had to go get it every day. But that was my strength. It was like I turned the challenge into the strength that propelled me. Because I think if my parents had not gotten divorced, if I hadn't had all the situations happen that happened, it would have been a lot easier to just kind of be okay at 24 and just go to parties and do whatever. But because I had this other route that was hard, I decided that I needed to do more to get out ahead in life. And so I think for people listening, it's like if you have experiences that are tricky to you, don't think of yourself as a victim to those circumstances. Instead, use that as your weapon to go out and follow those dreams because you have an experience that other people don't get, which creates grit and stamina and resilience. And you are so much stronger than you think you are. And you're still standing here listening to us talk right now, which means you are still alive, which means you can still try.
That's awesome. I really love that you said that. You mentioned that being an entrepreneur has its ups and downs. And, you know, you started with your story from the beginning. And now that you got to the point where you're experiencing success and then the pandemic hits, were you affected at all by that pandemic that we're still in?
Yeah, absolutely. Restaurants before pre-COVID were 50% of our business. And from one day to the next, the floor fell out beneath us and restaurants got obliterated. And so there was a period of time there where nobody was buying aprons from us to outfit their staff. And fortunately, we have our online business as well, our direct to consumer. And so we were selling 50% online. But then because of COVID, it transferred and became 80% online and 20% restaurants. And we did a major pivot on the day of the shutdown here in LA. I decided that we should make face masks because we had a sewing facility. That's our factory. We have a 16,000 square foot factory here in LA. And we had sewers and cutters and fabric, and everything was inside the warehouse already. And so we decided to do that and we went for it. And it was a really wild pivot because we had never done that before. And this was long before everybody said, we're going to make face masks. Let's all make face masks. So we did it and launched it with a buy one, donate one model. And because of that, we were able to make 1 million masks. We sold 1 million masks and we donated 500,000 masks.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it was a pretty radical pivot. And there were, for a few months there, that was all we were doing because we had a bunch of aprons in stock and they were just buying stuff from our current inventory. And we were focused on making face masks and distributing them to hospitals and doctors and all kinds of people. And by the way, like, we don't make face masks. We've never done that before, but we decided, and talk about a dream first details later moment. We went for it because it was the right thing to do. And we wanted to help our community. We wanted to help our team. We wanted to help our sewers. And so we did it.
That's amazing. That is a fantastic pivot, especially in the early days too. Like you mentioned, nobody was doing that. So then with the pandemic as well, did you notice an uptick? Because I guess a lot of people, I mean, all you saw on social media was people cooking and baking bread and such. So did that increase your apron sales for home buyers as well?
Yeah. No, absolutely. We got so many new customers and so many new people that discovered us through face masks or through cooking or through Instagram, social media. We have a really fun TikTok that's like super educational, very cool. So through all these different channels, people were seeing Hedley and Bennett for the first time. And, you know, we really pride ourselves on making a very high quality product that's pro grade, but it's also beautiful. And so when you combine really good quality with really good design and you put the two together and everyone's cooking, it's just kind of like a recipe for people using it. Everybody has been rocking a lot of Hedley and Bennett's in the last year, which is awesome. And then, you know, we outfit all the shows on the Food Network and Top Chef. And so you see that little red patch on the chest, which is the Hedley and Bennett logo. It's a little ampersand, a little and symbol. And so people wanted to be that. They wanted to feel inspired and empowered at home. So it went from just professional kitchens, really, to the home, too.
I love that. That's such a great story. Now, I have to ask this because, you know, this is a show for entrepreneurs and we love to talk about how it's important for entrepreneurs to manage their money and know their numbers and their business. So can you tell me what your relationship was like with your numbers from the beginning, maybe to where you are today? Like if there's some sort of story there, I'm not going to feed the words into your mouth.
Yeah. So when I started, again, I was 24. I hadn't gone to business school or anything like that. So there was more that I didn't know than I did know, if that makes sense. So I had a couple of key driving principles in my mind that I used to keep me afloat as a business for a while. One of them was never spend more than you make. And I kept that true and true for quite some time in Hedley, and I think the first 5 years.
That's a really important one. It's absolutely paramount. And I'm so impressed that you were able to do that.
Yeah, it was very hard because it's much easier to say, I need a printer, and you just go buy the printer, put it on a credit card. It's much harder to go get an order, fulfill the order, put the money in your account, and then go buy the printer. And that's the path I was taking. So I did that pretty committedly for the first several years. And then the other thing I practiced pretty aggressively was just reinvest every penny you can back into the business. So I wasn't taking, you know, big gobs of money off the table or anything like that. I was really, if I sold 100 aprons and I made X amount of money, I took the money to cover all of the expenses, and anything that was left over, I put it right back into the company, and I bought more rolls of fabric and I bought more, you know, sewing equipment or whatever it was. And that really helped build the momentum and also build the little ice chest, right? Because it just kept expanding. Because instead of making money and splurging, I was making money and investing it. So I became my own investor. And I really fueled the first years of Headley and Bennett in that way. And it was very simple. Those are two ideas that anybody could have in their head, but I was so committed to them that it just, it always helped me get money and keep money and reinvest the money that I had back into it.
I have to say that is like the best advice for entrepreneurs when it comes to your finances. And I am absolutely impressed that at the age of 24 that you knew this and you knew how to be so disciplined and focus on the growth of your business. There must have been something else that influenced you. Like, did you have a knowledge of finance? Was there maybe your mom talking to you, telling you how to manage this? Any external influences on that? Or did it come completely from within?
It was a little bit of a combination of observation with my own mother, not having had infinite resources. We are always looking at, well, how much money do we have and how much can we spend on this? And based on this, we have this much left and, you know, we're going to have to take this and like, this can go towards tuition or this can go towards this, right? So in my own mind, I was watching her do this when I was younger in a very simple way. And also because my mom had gotten divorced when I was fairly young, I really started helping her with that at home. And she was so amazing at just giving me room to learn that I said, hey, I can maybe help write the checks for different bills that we have. I see them like stacking up at home. And she was like, okay, yeah, do it. Like, go for it. And I didn't think twice about it. She didn't think twice about it. She's working 12-hour shifts as a nurse, and I was sitting at home all day. I was like, okay, well, I can do something around here. And that just helped me feel empowered. And that's kind of how I was doing it for her. And she was always just like, well, how much money do we have left? And what are we going to do with that money? So it was simple, but it really worked.
Yeah, I love that. It allowed you to get comfortable with money at a much younger age than most people do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also understood that the money didn't just grow on trees. Mm-hmm. It came into the bank account every time my mom worked a day. Okay, here's the money from that day. And here it entered. And now our account goes up. And there it is. And it wasn't just magical money that existed.
Yeah,
it was real. Exactly. I saw her working so hard for every dollar that I put value into it.
That's fantastic. Your mom must be so proud of you.
I'm proud of her. I'm like, raised us hooligans by yourself. I'm like, we have to succeed if not for that woman.
Oh, that's awesome. You've given us so many fantastic stories and inspiration. If there's one thing left that you want listeners to leave them with today, what would that be?
It's that the reminder that you are in your own life car, if you will, and you are driving it, and that every day you wake up, you have a new day and a new shot to get out there and to begin driving in the direction you want to drive. So don't compare yourself or think about what you don't have. Think about what you do have and use that. Use yourself. Use your tools, the tools that you have, to your own advantage. Go out and start. Just begin. Just don't overthink it. Don't put too much effort behind it. Just start. And that action of action is the most powerful thing you can do, because you're going to learn so much more when you're out of your head and you're actually like in life trying stuff.
Absolutely. Because action takes, it's what, the antidote to fear?
Exactly.
Yes. Exactly. Yes, exactly. Feel the fear and do it anyways.
Exactly.
Well, I've absolutely loved talking to you today. If listeners want to reach out and purchase an apron, where can they go find you?
Yeah, so they can go to headleyandbennett.com, and that's HEDLEYANDBENNETT. And you can also follow us on Instagram at Headley and Bennett. And my personal Instagram is Ellen Marie Bennett. Highly colorful, highly entertaining. So come follow along on any and all of those. And we'd love to have you on our apron squad. And of course, get the book, Dream First, Details Later. It's the cost of 3 coffees. If that helps you make your dreams happen, like, come on.
Absolutely. And we're going to leave the links in the show notes. So don't feel bad if you didn't catch all that information. Just go to the show notes and get the links. And I wish you a ton of success on your book launch. I know that I will be forwarding that information to everybody in my network, because I think that book is absolutely fantastic. And entrepreneurs are in my network, and every entrepreneur needs to be inspired by your book.
Thank you so much, Melissa.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. Thanks for listening to the Think Like a CFO podcast with Melissa Houston, CPA. If you've enjoyed this episode, leave us a review. Your ratings and reviews help more people like you find our podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe and share this episode with someone you think would love it. Until next time, I'm Melissa Houston, and remember, nobody will ever care about your business as much as you do. So never give your financial power away.